The book of Judges today. We're in Judges chapter 17. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah. I don't know how old Micah was, but he was a grown man. And he was old enough to have grown children. 2. And he said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here is the silver with me. I took it." He was a grown man who robbed his elderly mother. And so he broke two commandments at the same time. And it seems as if he may have confessed because he was afraid of some curse that his mother supposedly put on the thief. Last part of verse 2, "And his mother said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, my son.'" Well, it's good that he confessed, but it appears as if she congratulates him for returning the money that he never should have taken in the first place. I think she raised him to be a spoiled brat. No wonder he didn't respect her. Often parents who spoil their children by never saying no will end up being despised by those same children. 3. So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son, to make the carved image and a molten image. Now therefore I will return it to you." In other words, I dedicate this money to the Lord to make an idol. That's like robbing a bank and putting the money in the collection plate on Sunday. Money that is dedicated to the Lord should be spent on something that furthers the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Satan. Verse 4. "Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image and a molded image, and they were in the house of Micah." And they really felt like they did something special here. But all it was a bunch of religious busy work that made them feel good on the surface. 5. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. They have the whole religious setup here, and even a hand-picked priest. Too bad they left God out of the picture. They have a religion. It is completely made up. It is completely worthless. They have a religion without a relationship with God. And now they can play make-believe until they die and go to hell for the sin of idolatry. Religion without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is always useless. It's damnable. 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his eyes. I'm glad that God added this. Otherwise, people might get the idea that God was sanctioning this trash. People in that day worshipped the God of self. Self was God. And the only thing that they lived by The only truth that they lived by, so-called, was, what do I want today? What do I want to do? What do I want to think? 7. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. Levites were priests. They didn't have an inheritance of their own, as you may recall. They were scattered throughout the tribes in 48 special cities. This young Levite had been living in the territory of Judah. 8. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. He leaves Bethlehem for no place in particular. All he wants is a nice place to live. And as he is traveling, he comes across Micah's house. Verse number 9. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" So he said to him, "I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm on my way to find a place to stay." And as we will see, this Levite was an opportunist looking for the best deal for himself. But you know, a person really doesn't find satisfaction until they are right with the Lord and doing what he wants. 10. Micah said to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me. And I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance." So the Levite went in. A new suit, plenty of food, a bed, some spending cash. Not bad. So he accepts the job. This was a business deal. There are no spiritual considerations at all. God never even enters into the Levite's equation. Never even mention. 11. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as priest." It wouldn't be right to have a priest who wasn't a Levite because they were the priestly tribe. Well, Micah took care of that problem. But he worships idols, which is an even bigger problem. But Micah thinks everything's okay because he has this Levite as a priest. He has invented his own religion, one that makes him feel good about himself, but what he really has is nothing. Chapter 18. Chapter 18. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in, for until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. The tribe of Dan had been assigned some land, but they delayed in conquering it. And actually, it was far removed from their fellow Israelites, and it was inhabited by pagan enemies. So up until now, it was easier for them to just leech off their fellow Israelites than to go in and settle in their own place. So that being said, they were out of the will of God. 2. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor, to Zorah and Eshtaol to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. And while they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" That Levite was a traveler. He really got around. So I suppose he was known by a lot of people, including these five spies from the tribe of Dan. They recognized him, and they were wondering what he was doing in that area. For he said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." In the Old West, a hired gun would do anything for a buck. Micah was a hired preacher and a hired priest, and he will teach anything, he will say anything, he will be anything for a buck. 5. So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." These five men happen to stumble upon this priest, so their mind is triggered. And they think, well, maybe we ought to pray about this venture that we're on. What do you know? Imagine that. Let's pray. 6. And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." And I don't know many things for sure, but I don't believe that this backslid, idol-worshipping, preacher-for-hire really heard the voice of God. He's just saying what he knows they want to hear. He is a feel-good preacher. 7. So the five men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely, in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame or for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. There wasn't anything holding evil in check in this place, Laish. They sort of all did their own thing, and really were not connected with any other people. 8. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them. For we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." The tribe of Dan put off taking that area because they thought it would be too much trouble, but it's going to be easy to take. Thinking about what God wants us to do is often harder than actually doing it. That's another reason that we shouldn't put it off. Verse 11. And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kirjath Jearim in Judah. Therefore they call that place Mahane Dan to this day. There it is, west of Kirjath Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now therefore consider what you should do." The five spies did not suggest that all the religious equipment and paraphernalia be stolen, but they sure did hint at it. Enticing someone to make a sinful choice, subtly implanting an evil thought in someone's mind and making it sound like a good thing to do is sin. Matthew 18:7, Jesus said, "Woe to the world because of enticements to sin, because of temptations. For temptations to sin must come, but woe to that man through whom those offenses come." 15. So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the land went up, entering there. They took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing? These Danites are really on an unholy roll. They break the 8th commandment so that they can break the 2nd commandment. They steal so that they can commit adultery. And what did they think that these gods could do for them anyway? How can a god that can't keep itself from being stolen possibly protect them?" 19. And they said to him, "Be quiet, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" For a preacher, that is a preacher for hire, this is too much to pass by. Promotion that brings prosperity isn't always from God. Promotion comes from the Lord if it doesn't take you out of His will. Talking about His moral will, the boundaries thereof found in Scripture. 20. So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. If this Levite had a conscience, it was so covered with self that it didn't matter anymore. Once a person's conscience has become dead to right and wrong, he's going to go with the highest bidder. He's going to go with whatever can give him the most carnal satisfaction. 21. Then they turned and departed, and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. They put their families in front, no doubt expecting an attack from their backside. Verse 22. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you, that you have gathered such a company?" And obviously the sons of Dan were playing stupid with Micah. You know, what a waste of time this sort of thing is. Plain ignorance is a waste of time, and it is also aggravating to those who have to put up with it. When all they want to do is settle whatever needs to be settled and get on with life. 24. So he said, you have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, what ails you? Again, if someone or something can take away your gods, then your gods are no gods. You've been trusting in a lie. And it's no loss to have them, not have them anymore. Let them take them. It's certainly not worth fighting over. 25. And the children of Dan said to him, do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household. They threatened to murder Micah if he won't shut up. You ever notice how wicked people get annoyed when they're asked to do what is correct or when they're confronted with their sin? 26. Then the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. And maybe, just maybe, the loss of these idols woke Micah up, made him realize just how useless they were. And so if that was the case, their loss was a real blessing to him. A tough loss can be a blessing in disguise if people allow their new emptiness to drive them to Christ. Verse 27. So they took the things Micah had made, and the priest who had belonged to him, and went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and they struck them with the edge of the sword, and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob, so they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Years earlier, God told Moses, you shall not have any gods before me, and you shall not make unto you any carved image to bow down and worship it. And here you have Moses' own grandson, Jonathan, being a priest to an idol. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. Now, in theory, God was king. In practice, self was king. Just like with many today. In theory, Jesus is Lord. They speak of him as the good Lord. But in practice, self is Lord. And it leads to all sorts of frustration and trouble. Well, it says, and it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there 4 whole months. She was this man's concubine, which was wrong. But then she added to her wrong by leaving her husband. Could be that he treated her badly, so she went home to her father. Don't know for sure. Verse 3, then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him. So she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. So he goes and talks to her with soft and considerate words. But his soft words, as we will see, were only to get her back. He did not love her. Be careful not to put too much faith in soft words when they are spoken by someone who has a bad track record. Verse 4. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, and he stayed with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and lodged there. Then it came to pass on the fourth day that they arose early in the morning, and he stood to depart. But the young woman's father said to his son-in-law, refresh your heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. So they sat down, and the two of them ate and drank together. Then the young woman's father said to the man, please be content to stay all night, and let your heart be merry. And when the man stood to depart, his father-in-law urged him, so he lodged there again. Then he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart, but the young woman's father said, please refresh your heart. So they delayed until afternoon, and both of them ate. So he planned on leaving early, but he put it off again. He had good intentions, but I suppose that food smelled good, so he ended up eating and staying, and then eating some more. Good intentions do not get it done. Sometimes good intentions are derailed by Satan, sometimes by others. That can happen. However, do not allow good intentions to be squashed by allowing your flesh to get the best of you. 9. And when the man stood to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the young woman's father, said to him, look, the day is now drawing toward evening. Please spend the night. See, the day is coming to an end. Lodge here, that your heart may be merry. Tomorrow go on your way, so that you may get home. However, the man was not willing to spend the night. So he arose and departed and came opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. With him were two saddled donkeys. His concubine was also with him. This time he was determined to go. And it wouldn't matter who or how many people would try to tell him anything different. Right now, no matter who, no matter how, no matter what, maybe against it, he's going to do it. And we'll see what happens next time.